Good morning, and welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton with you from Bible Baptist Church in Lupton, Michigan. You've already been given most of that information. Service times 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service, and our midweek is Thursday night at 7 o'clock, teen youth on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the other youth group, younger youth group, on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. They're in a little break right now. Message, instructions concerning contentment. We'll be in 2 Timothy 3:14. And we're going to have a song before the message today by a youth group, and I'm not sure who it is, but it's called Satisfied, and I think it'll go along well with the message. We want to encourage you to be in a Bible-believing church today. If you're close to Lupton and you want to try us out, we'd be welcome to have you come. If you're not, find one. If you can't find one, listen closely to the announcer at the end of our program. Copy down the address, drop us a note, and we'll do our best to find you something close, okay? We hope that we can be a blessing to you. We come here and record these programs so we can be a blessing. But we can't be one if you don't want us to be, okay? You can say whatever you want, but if you're not interested, then obviously we can't be a blessing. I hope you are. Three-part sermon. This is the first part, instructions concerning contentment. And boy, if we don't live in an age that's not content, don't have all they want to have, don't have it the way they want to have it. So anyways, we hope that you will be content, or after this sermon, you will learn what it means to be content, okay? All right, without any further words from me, let's get into the message. First, though, a song entitled Satisfied, after the song is over. The message, first part of a three-part message, instructions concerning contentment.
My life long, I had panted for a drink from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within.
My Redeemer is to me.
2 Timothy 3. Before we get into the sermon, I thought maybe I'd read you something here. John Steinbeck once said, "Don't pick a fight with an old man. If he's too old to fight, he'll just kill you." "I carry a gun because a cop is too heavy." "When seconds count, the cops are just minutes away." A reporter did a human interest story on the Texas Rangers. The reporter recognized the Colt model 1911 the Ranger was carrying and asked him, "Why do you carry a 45? The Ranger responded, "Because they don't make a 46. The old sheriff was attending an awards dinner when a lady commented on his wearing a sidearm. "Sheriff, I see you have a pistol. Are you expecting trouble?" "No, ma'am. If I was expecting trouble, I'd have brought my rifle." "Beware of the man who only has one gun. He probably knows how to use it." But wait, there's one more. I was once asked by a lady visiting if I had a gun in the house. I said I did. She said, "Well, I certainly hope it isn't loaded." To which I said, "Of course it's loaded. Can't work without bullets." She then asked, "Are you afraid of someone evil coming into your house?" My reply was, "No, not at all. I'm not afraid of a house fire either, but I have fire extinguishers around and they're all loaded." To which I added, "Having a gun in the house that isn't loaded is like having a car in a garage without gas." You'll appreciate this one here. Two California Highway Patrol officers were conducting speed enforcement on I-15 just north of the Marine Corps station in Miramar. One of the officers was using a handheld radar device to check speeding vehicles as they approached the crest of the hill. The officer was suddenly surprised when the radar gun read 300 miles per hour. The officer attempted to reset the radar gun, but it would not reset, and then it just turned off. Just then, a deafening roar above the treetops revealed that the radar had in fact locked onto a United States Marine Corps F-A-18 Hornet, which was engaged in low-flying exercises near the location. Back at the California Highway Patrol headquarters, the patrol captain fired off a complaint to United States Marine Corps base commander. This reply came back, the United States Marine Corps, of course, in Marine Corps style. You may be interested to know that the tactical computer in the Hornet had detected the presence of and sequentially locked on to your hostile radar equipment and automatically sent a jamming signal back to it, which is why it shut down. Furthermore, an air-to-ground missile aboard the fully armed aircraft had automatically locked on your equipment location. Fortunately, the Marine pilot flying the Hornet recognized the situation for which it was and quickly responded to the missile system's alert status and was able to override the automatic defense system before the missile was launched to destroy the hostile radar position. The pilot also suggests that you cover your mouth when cursing at him, since the video system on these jets are very technical. Sergeant Johnson, the officer holding the radar gun, should get his dentist to check his left rear molar. It appears the filling is loose. Also, the snap on his holster is broken. Thank you for your concern. Semper Fi. Don't mess with the Marine Corps, huh? All right, 2 Timothy 3. And verse 14, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Father,
We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I wish we had all the answers. We don't. It seems like every week we discover something else in our life that needs an adjustment. Lord, maybe we don't. I don't know. Maybe somebody here today doesn't need any preaching. I don't know. I need some. And so, Lord, I pray today that you will not only work in my heart, but these who are here, not from what I have to say, but from what your word has to say. And I'll thank you for it and praise you for it. Look forward to seeing what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to concentrate on the end of verse 16. It just says, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is proper for instruction in righteousness. Most everyone I know of that claims to be saved claims that the King James Bible is the Word of God and claims to be a Bible believer and knows about the warning that Paul gave in the first 13 verses of this chapter. Now, what most people do not do is connect the first part of the chapter with the last part of the chapter. In other words, we get all this warning about the last days and what's going to be like in the last days, and then we're told at the end of this chapter, but continue thou. So the way to keep out of being a part of the first part of the chapter is to do what the end of the chapter said. I said the way to keep out of the first part of the chapter is do what the end of the chapter said. If you will notice, there's no punctuation that would indicate that you get to the end of verse 14, you have a punctuation that carries into the verse 15, but you don't have a paragraph mark or anything that separates those two parts. It's just all part of one. You say, why is that important? Because the reason why the church is failing in this age is because they're not doing what God says in the end of the chapter. Are you following me? They're not continuing in the things they should. The truth is that most saints are violators of the Word of God. And most of us know we are. But we tend to cover it up with an excuse of some sort. Now in verse 16, Paul tells us that we can avoid getting into this fix of the previous verses by listening to the instruction given to us in the Scripture. Now, how to keep your life out of a mess is do what God says. And when you don't do what God says, that's what gets you in a mess. Amen. I don't care if you're 6, 16, 26, 36, 46, 56, or too old to count anymore or be worth anything. Now, what I have here this morning is maybe a vitamin lesson, I don't know, but it's 5 C's for the saints. 5 C's for the saints. Let's turn to Philippians 4. This sermon kind of came to me this week through some incidences that I had to be involved in. And, you know, I kind of take it that when people are having troubles, when things aren't going right in their lives, then I guess maybe everybody needs to hear something, huh? Amen. I don't suppose any of us are exempt this morning from trouble. But some of us invite it. Right. Amen. Yep. Philippians 4, look at verse 11. For I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be. Now let's notice some instructions concerning contentment. If you would look down here in verse, 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So quit worrying and start praying. Okay, now when the rest of you join in the sermon this morning, it'll be real helpful. Verse 8 says, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report for me. Think on these things. So there should be something you should think on. And then the verse we just read says you just got to learn to be content with what you have. The state you're in. Now what gets us into trouble is we won't do what God says. And we find ourselves in discontent because we won't do what God says. It's that simple. Well, I'm not saying that's that simple like, oh, da-di-da, it's over. I'm saying it's that simple. I know that's not easy to do, but it's what keeps us out of the messes we get ourselves into. We all complain about the situations we're in, and then we hear about somebody else who's in one worse than we are. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I'm looking here this morning at families, and you have children, and for the most part, your children are healthy. Amen. You know, walking around, not having any major, major, major problems, and then yet over here in a hospital, such a little girl with her back broke, among others. Children's hospitals all over America full of boys and girls with cancer this morning and other kinds of diseases. And we can't be content with what we have. And the Lord says, well, maybe I should give you something to help you learn to be content. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in that part of it. But contentment's an important thing. I'm going to give you some rules. I'm going to give you four rules this morning. Four rules about contentment. These are all in the Bible. I didn't make these up. I'm not that smart. All right, the first one is, be content with whatever your current state is. I don't like what's going on any more than you like what's going on. I heard him say this morning that one of the candidates, she, is asking the other candidate, he, to meet with her in a no bars hold debate. Mister, stay out of that. Stay out of that. Stay as far away, removed as you can from. Why? She's not content with the way things are going, and so she's going to change them to go her way. And when you get in that same idea and mode that all you got to do is change it and it'll be better, you're going to find out it won't be better. Amen. If you're not happy in Michigan, you won't be happy in California. Or Virginia, or South America, or New York, or North Carolina, or wherever it is you think you'll be happy. How many times have people said, I'll just get out of here, I'll be happier somewhere else, and got there and they weren't happy there either? And some of them are living in such an attitude of discontent today that they can't do anything right. Because they won't do the one thing God says that you have to do. Be content where you're at. One man said, you know why the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? There's just more manure there. Some of you understood that term, didn't you? Sure. Look at 1 Timothy a minute. Well, I could have said fertilizer. 1 Timothy 6, 8. Oh, my. Oh, I hate this message. Just thought I'd tell you to start off with. 1 Timothy 6, 8. And having food and raiment, just wrong. That's wrong. The only reason why Paul said that is because he never had a car. If he'd had a car, he'd included a car in it. Okay? If he'd had a bank account, he'd include the bank account. That's just a selfish motive on the part of Paul. You think? No, you know what that says. Having food and raiment there, but what? Okay, so the second rule on your table today. It's say any of the other song. He just said, be content with what you have. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of us have a closet full of clothes. Some of us have it hanging on the back of our door. Some of us have it under the bed. Some of us have it in another room. And yet we can't wait till the next sale of JCPenney. No, I'm not telling you you can't buy new clothes. I'm saying most people aren't satisfied with what they have. It's not an age. In this age, we don't teach people to be satisfied. We teach them, if you don't have this, you can have it. And let me tell you something. The foreclosure market is making a killing today. Because I told you years ago, don't pay any attention to those people on the TV who are telling you you want some more cash that you can have to spend during the week. You call us and your equity's in your house and we'll put it in your pocket. And they did, and they got it in their pocket, and now the mortgage company's got their house. Because they weren't content to just live with what they had. They had to have more. And I'm telling you, when you get discontent, it'll get you in a serious hurt. So, number two, be content with food and raiment. Oh no, it gets worse. Luke 3. You know it's worse just going to the book of Luke. Luke 3. Now I'll clarify this in just a moment so you'll know that it doesn't include you. But I want to read it anyways. Because I just want to read it. Luke 3, verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, they're talking to John. And what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to any man, neither accuse any falsely. Now in the Greek, or some people would say, you call this a wage? And be content with what? I'm going to be honest with you. I find that a little difficult.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.